Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Kraut, and in this show, we're going to discuss network connections best practices. Now, I've been in the industry for over 20 years. I've been consulting and teaching for the government, the United States Air Force, Navy, Marines, the Army, and companies around the world. If you want more information about me, check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions, please use the question comment box below. Let's get started. So, networks are the backbone of society. Without a network, information would not be able to travel. So, that's what we call the information highway. So, connecting to your network is very important. How about that email that you desperately need or the video that you want to watch on Netflix? These are all dependent on a good network configuration. This radio broadcast will deal with network connections best practices. So the first one is when using multiple network adapters, you want to rename each local area connection. Your operating system detects network adapters and automatically creates a local area connection and a network connections folder for each network adapter. If more than one network adapter is installed, you can eliminate the possible confusion by immediately renaming each local area connection to reflect the network that it connects to. You need to add or enable network client services and protocols that are required for each connection. And when you do so, the client service and protocol is added or enabled in all other network and dial-up connections. So with the multiple network adapters, here's an example. Say you're setting up a NAT server, which is a network address translation. What it's allowing us to do is have one connection to the internet. All the clients will go through it. So what you do is you have one network adapter, which is going to be internal, and then you have the external one, and that would be on your router. Or say that you're setting up a VPN connection, VPN server, or router, or any of those different utilities. With those, what you do is do the same thing. But you need to verify required connection settings for your network adapter. That's the next thing. If your network administrator or ISP requires static settings, you may need one or more of the following: a specific IP address, which the IP address is going to be a public IP address. So it's going to be one that has been given by IANA, which is the certifying authority for giving out IP addresses, making sure that we have enough. Because IP version 4, we're running out of IP addresses. So this organization, what it does is it tracks which IP addresses are being given for public access, for like ISPs and so forth. So the ISP will give you an IP address that is going to be used. And it may be one that constantly changes. We could have PPOE, which is what that is a protocol that it constantly changes the IP address. So you never have the same one. So you don't have a static IP address. It depends on which service that you're using also. You'll have the DNS addresses. And then DNS addresses are very important because if you want to get to www.google.com, it needs to know how to be able to resolve that. And that's what happens with the DNS server. So the DNS addresses, you may have it automatically given through a DHCP connection though also. So it all depends on how your ISP has it set up. If you're going to be have to ask for all this information, you may get it through a DHCP connection. Like I have AT&T Uverse, and so I get my IP address, my DNS name, and my default gateway address automatically through DHCP. So that's the next thing. Well, the next thing is your DNS domain name. Then your default gateway, which a default gateway, all that is that's the connection to your router. And what you do is the router is going to forward your traffic to where it needs to go. And that's based on a address table that's in the inside of the router. And so based on the different cost, meaning the connection type, if it's an ISDN or a T1, T3, or OC3, that will make a determination on how the packets are being transferred. Now, that's not on your connection, but that's on the router itself. So I was just giving you a little background on the router. And so the default gateway is going to be a router. And a lot of times, if you have like a Linksys, that's going to be 192, 168, 1.1. Now, on my AT&T UVerse, it's 192, 168, 1.254. That is the actual default gateway. And the default gateway allows me to be able to get outside of the local subnet, be able to connect to the internet, and so forth. Then you might have to use WINS addresses, which WINS addresses, what that does is it actually replaces the what are known as the NetBIOS names, which you can find your NetBIOS, your LMHost file, which is underneath your drivers, etc., which is under the Windows System 32. You can open that up. It's LMHost SAM, and that's what's known as your NetBIOS names. A lot of times we don't really use NetBIOS as much as we used to. Now, DHCP is enabled by default on a network connection. And this gets your IP address and other configuration information automatically. Automatic IP settings are used for all the connections, and they eliminate the need to configure settings such as DNS, WINS, and so on. Now, the thing is if you're not able to get to your DHCP server, then what's going to happen is you're going to get what is known as an IPIPA, automatic IP address. And the automatic IP address is going to be the range of 169 is going to be the designation. And so if you ever go and do an IP config and you find that you have an automatic IP address, that means that you're not getting to your DHCP server. And sometimes that would mean just a matter of resetting your NIC card, and also just ensuring that the DHCP server is available to be able to give out the IP address. Create dial-up VPN or direct connections by using the new connection wizard. That's one of the other best practices. And so a VPN is a virtual private network, and what you're doing is you're connecting to your corporate network for sharing information and being able to have access for like virtual offices. Well, the way that we create a VPN is by using the new connection wizard. And what it does is it takes you through the steps of creating a new connection. So after you create a connection, you can copy the connections, rename them, and modify the connection settings. By doing so, you can easily create different connections to accommodate multiple modems, ISPs, dialing profiles, and so on. Specify the order in which network providers and protocols are accessed. And this is a very important thing because by changing the order of the protocols bound to the providers, you can improve performance. Example, I did some consulting with a company. This was in the 1990s. And they were always complaining that they're having issues with connecting and things were very slow. Well, when I examined the actual network configuration, they had TCP/IP and IPX/SPX installed plus NetBIOS. And really, a lot of admins at that time thought that you always had to have NetBIOS to be able to make a connection. So if TCP/IP wasn't available, you can use NetBIOS. But if you know anything about NetBIOS is broadcast. So that means there's going to be a lot of traffic on a network. So what I did is, and also when you have all those different protocols, what happens is it'll try each one until it makes a connection. So if you were to put TCP/IP at the top, then what'll happen is the performance will increase. And we can get rid of the other protocols. So if your LAN connection is enabled to access NetWare and Windows networks, which use IPX and TCP/IP, but you primarily connect to the Microsoft network, then what you want to do is you want to move it to the top of the binding order. And this will allow it to be able to be bound faster. Now, if the IPX-SPX protocol is not available on Windows XP 64-bit edition, 64-bit versions of Windows Server 2003 family, and it's not even available in Windows 7 and Vista or Windows 2008 either. Now, one of the other things is when you're dealing with protocols, you should only install enable network protocols that you need. For example, don't install IPX SPX just because it's there. If you're not connecting to a network type environment, then don't install it. So limiting the number of protocols on your computer enhances its performance and reduces network traffic. If your computer encounters a problem with a network or dial-up connection, attempts to establish connectivity by using every network protocol that is installed and enabled. And by only installing and enable the protocols that your system can use, the operating system does not attempt to connect with the protocols it cannot use and return status information to you more efficiently. So those are the different best practices that we should use for networking connections or network connections. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can put them in the GoGo box below. You can also find more of my broadcasts, just search the GoGo website. If you have an idea for a show, then let us know by putting the information in the GoGo box. It's been a pleasure speaking to you about technology. Thank you for letting me in your world. Have a great day, and bye-bye for now.